Forget what you've done for me. I must ask the question, has God brought anybody over anything, through anything, out of anything? wait a minute. I just asked the question. Has God brought anybody through anything? Has he brought anybody out of anything? Has he brought anybody from under anything? Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. The Bible ended through his courts with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to pump or prime you. Amen. 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 I just have a hard time when people don't move when God has done something for them. Amen. Amen. The Bible says for us to speak out. It says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. And saying, if you don't cry out, then a rock will cry out in your place. I don't want a rock to cry out for me, amen. I'm so thankful for all the things that he's done in my life, amen. And when I get to thinking about those things, I must say so, amen, amen, amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us in Sunday school. Thank you, Master, even for being with us before we got to Sunday school. We thank you for waking us up this morning. And Lord God, we thank you for keeping us in our right minds and giving us the activities of our limbs. And we thank you now for your presence in this holy sanctuary. And we pray, Master, that while we're here with you, that we truly open up and allow you and your son to come in and sup with us so that we can receive the nourishments that we need to give us strength. Because in your son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn 590.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let's stand, church, and we're going to sing together, "We Shall Overcome."
We shall overcome.
participating, and that's your thought for the week. We shall overcome. Amen.
So faithful, there is no one.
Amen. And there is no one like him. He is so good. He can't be matched. No matter how good we are, we cannot match him. Amen. Because there's no one like our God. No one so merciful. No one so kind. No one so loving. No one so understanding. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. He looked past all of our faults, all of our sins, all of our shortcomings. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. For he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning, Master, knowing that thou art God, and besides you there are no others. You are the one and true God. As we said in the song, no one can be like you, no one can match you, for you are all powerful. You are the only one who's able to sustain himself, for you're sovereign in all of your doings. Master, we come now to say thank you for you being our God and allowing us to be your children. And Master, as we move today, you've heard that we've talked about wisdom. Master, we pray that your wisdom become our wisdom. Your knowledge become our knowledge. Your way become our way. For it is our desire, Master, to reflect the power of the cross. For we know that Jesus is no longer there, but yet there is still power at the cross. So we come today to say thank you for him not only being willing to go to the cross, but to go through, Lord God, and get up on that third day morning. Today we come to say thank you, because he didn't have to do it, but he chose to do it so that we can have, the Lord God, the right to the tree of life. So we come this morning and say thank you for being such an awesome God. Thank you for being such a good God. For it's because of you that we're here today. It's because of you that we're able to live the life that we're able to live, to go to places we're able to go to stay in the homes we're able to stay in. It's because of you. So we come this morning and say, thank you, Master. We pray that you always be with us. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering.
God's giving, no, no. golden grain, and he comes up to see me every now and then, because he's my friend. That's why I'm telling you now,
Master, we come now to say thank you for what has been given here today. For Father, we're doing as you've asked of us, and we're giving back unto you 10% of what you required of us. And Master, we know that because you have ordained this to be so, you will take what we have taken today, and you'll not only bless us, but you'll bless the world. We ask now in these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Depend. thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God, he could solve them. I wouldn't know what trust in his word could really do. That's why I'm singing that through it all, oh, I've learned.
Trust in Jesus, for he has not failed me. And because of that, I have learned to trust in God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. For surely he is worthy to be praised. Our God is an awesome God. There's nothing like him in this world. And I think sometimes we take him for granted because we don't give him enough of us. He doesn't require much. It just require a little bit of our time. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for you being in this holy service today. And Master, we thank you for what you're about to share with your people, for it is only by your words can we grow. It's only by your words can we become better. Lord God, this preacher that stands here has no power, and this preacher that stands here can't make anybody better. But what can transpire is you can use us as a conduit. And Lord God, in order to get your message through to your people. So we pray now that this word will fall on fertile ground. Lord God, it will nourish and grow and become powerful in your people. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me once again to Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Same scripture that we did on last Sunday. For I share with you that we'll probably end up doing a series of preaching from this text. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And it reads, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just for a few moments, once again, our topic, or shall I say, our subject is moving forward with God But in part two, I'd like to talk about there is a requirement for passion. There is a requirement for passion. I share with you in part one of this series that in order for us to move forward with God, there was a requirement of humility, and that we had to humble ourselves before God and submit ourselves to God in order for us to move forward. And in me sharing that, I said that it's not that we have done anything wrong or anything bad, but we're actually a good church. But what we cannot rest in is what we've done last year or what we've done in the previous years, but we must move forward with God. In order for us to do that, we must first humble ourselves, which means not to stand on what you've already done. Don't think that it's good enough and that we have made it, because if we're moving forward with God, we ought to always go to the next level. And in order for us to go to the next level, we had to first submit ourselves to God. Well, the second part is we must have passion for God. What you mean, Reverend? We must be excited when it comes to God. We must have fuel of fire when it comes to God. There must be something in us that's so enlightening that when people see us, they see God. When people hear us, they hear God. When people see us in a place, they know that God is there. We should have enough zeal, enough oomph about us that when people see us, they ought to know that we are children of God. If you want to draw, you got to be passionate. Have you ever tried to pull someone in and you had no passion in what you was talking about? They can feel your lack of passion. They can feel your lack of desire. They can feel your lack of strength. If we are going to move forward with God and receive the promises of God, church, we must have passion. I hear you saying, well, Reverend, we got something. We got passion. Well, when you have passion, you give God your all. You don't give God what you have left over. Some of us give God what we have left and not what we have the best to offer. When you have passion, you give God your best. You don't give him your rest. You give him your best. You give God your first child, not your last child. You give God your best offering, not what's left to offer. Huh? So many of us, we have a laissez-faire attitude when it comes to church. Yeah, I'm pastoring now. We come to church when we get ready. We come to church how we want to. We don't prepare for church. Huh? And don't ask me to come on any other day than Sunday, because I ain't coming. But we say we are passionate about God. Now, how would we feel if God treated us like that? What if God didn't have passion about you? And when you called on him, he just came when he wanted to. He didn't come when you called him. He didn't meet you in that midnight hour when you needed somebody to wipe your tears from your eyes. He didn't meet you when you needed to be comforted. He didn't give you money when you were lacking. He didn't do anything for you, but when he showed up, he just stayed there. How would we feel if we treated God the way he treat us? I mean, the way we treat him. I said that backwards, didn't I? I meant to say, how would we feel if God treated us the way we treat him? But we say we got passion for God. We come to the meeting, we only there for a few minutes and we go. But we say we have passion for God.
Church, we cannot move forward with God unless there is passion. And Paul shows us here that no matter all of the accomplishments he had, no matter all the things that he did, he still had passion. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. It's a little personal thing. And most of the men can attest to what I'm about to say. When I fell in love with my wife, I was passionate. When we were dating, there was nothing she couldn't ask that I wouldn't do. I remember when I was pledging Omega Psi Phi and the bros had me out there all day. You know how they do Sinkfield and them used to do that to us. We'd been out there all day and cleaned the frat house and swept the parking lot, and Nana got us on the grill and cooking, and it's hot and the orders never stop coming. Even if you don't do it fast enough, the bros are crazy enough just to grab a piece of chicken off the grill and eat it straight from the grill. But my wife called me at that time we were dating. She called me about around 6 o'clock and said, "Listen, I'm down here in Florida at the Jazz Festival, and my friends are not treating me right. Our friends are not treating me right. I don't know what to do." I said, "I tell you what, just give me some time to finish up here with the bros, and I'll be there." When the bros let me go, it was 11 o'clock at night. I was so passionate about my wife. I went home, got some clothes, didn't shower. Got straight on the road and rode at night while I was tired to get to her to make sure she was okay. That's the type of passion that God is looking for the church to have. When you will give God your all, God will give back to you his all. Oh, y'all didn't hear me.
Yes, we did.
Church, we got to become more passionate about God and stop being so laissez-faire about him. As if he does not matter, as if he's not the most important thing in our life, if he's not the one who sustains us, if he's not the one who gives us all that we have. We must become more passionate about God. God is not your job. He is not your friend. He is your sustainer.
All right.
He is your power source. Yes. All that you've accomplished, you didn't do that by yourself.
Amen.
God opened that door.
Yes.
God made that way for you. God gave you that blessing. Where is our passion? Where is your passion? I get a Bible study when I get there. I get the choir rehearsal when I get there. They ain't doing that anyway. You just going over the same songs. I'm not going this Sunday because they're choir singing. I really don't want to hear them sing. Y'all did ask me to pastor, right? Where is your passion? Where is it? Some of us are so passionate about our jobs. When we stand up at work, everybody knows how passionate we are, because we're in love with the position that we have. Some of us are like that about our children, our homes. But where's your passion for God? It's amazing that we are passionate about stuff that doesn't matter. And when the one who gave us the stuff, we're not passionate about. You don't read your Bibles until you come to church. I'm walking on some toes today.
All right.
You don't pray until something happened to you in life? Unless until you want something from God? Most of us don't even pray every since. Every day. But then we want God to be good to us. We want God to hear our cry. We want God to hear our prayer when we have not built a relationship with Him. Where is your passion? When you love something, there's nothing you won't do for it. When you love something, there's not one thing that can stop you. How you know that, Reverend? Look at Paul. Paul said, I was shipwrecked 3 times, in prison 7 times, beaten by rods 3 times, bitten by a snake, stoned and left for dead. But it didn't stop.
All right.
I still wrote the books of the Bible.
Yeah.
I still had my missionary journeys. I still taught those who sat upon me, and I gave them all that I had.
All right.
I never lost my passion because I'm in love with the one who gives me all that I need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love with the one who sustained me. I'm in love with the one who makes a way for me when there is no way. What's your passion? You're more passionate about your spouse than you are about God. When God says, I am a jealous God, I will have no other God before me. Church, when you put something before God, when you love something more than you love God, you've made that your God. When you give something more time than you give God your time, you've made that your God. Where is your passion? You want to move forward with God? Where's your passion? When the church doors open, you ought to be the first one here. And we ought to have to run you out of here. We know that's not happening. We barely getting here. And then when we get here, we're ready to go. As soon as you finish shaking my hand, you keep right on going. Where is your passion? Paul said, for God, I endured a lot of things. I was hated by my own. Despised, misused, spat on, treated badly. But my passion never failed. My passion stayed. Look at the text. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which means I was in an uncomfortable state. Some of us, we so comfortable. We come in here, we got our same seats every Sunday. Lord, don't let nobody sit in our seat. You know the heat going to be on when we get here. I wonder what would happen if we leave the heat off. How many of you would stay? If we didn't have any lights, how many of you would stay? I'm being straight real. How many of you would stay? How many of you would show God that it doesn't matter how comfortable I am? What matter is, I love you and I'm going to be here for you. Because you're here for me. Paul said, I never lost my passion. I'm about to go home when I say this, when I read this. Paul said, in all that I went through, Reverend, I was still able to write these words. In Romans 8, beginning at the 33rd verse, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Who always maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Then he says this. This will let me know that Paul never lost his passion. And all that he endured. And all that he went through. And I'm going to say this, because some of us, if we have some pain, we stop. Somebody in the church didn't offended me. They talking about me. They looked at me wrong. They wouldn't shake my hand. They had an attitude with me. We stop coming to church. Let me tell you, your salvation has nothing to do with them.
Amen. All right. Amen. All right.
Your salvation has everything to do to God. You're here for God. You're not here for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Where is your passion? Paul says, in all that I suffered, in all that I went through, in verse 37, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors.
Yes. Mm.
Through him that loved us.
Yes.
He says this, for I am persuaded.
Yes.
Come on, y'all.
All right.
That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Where is your passion? The doors of the church are now open.
Oh.
If you have not received God in the free pardon of your sins, the time is now. The Bible says to find God while he is near.
Father God, we come to you to say thank you, Master, for you sharing with us what you require of us. For we know that when you instruct us, that you are clear in your instructions. And not only are you clear in your instructions, but you are clear in your requirements. So we come to say thank you for you sharing with us your mind, sharing with us what you have for us to do. And we pray, Master, as we prepare to leave this place, that you watch over us, that you protect us, that you keep us until we can return to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. And let all of God's children sing.